Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Disrespect, so when I bust my rhyme, you break your neck. We got 5 minutes for us to
disconnect.
All the bandits out on the field. He's looking for the ball. So we break away from tradition. Cause when we be out, girl, it's fully be that.
Smith, caution him right down the line.
Pass comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo.
Good! What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. And Xander, man, there is a lot of stuff going on in the sporting world. What's up, my brother?
Not much. You know, excited to cover all this great stuff. You know, we got NFL playoffs, college football national championship coming up. So, yeah, there's a going to be a big weekend and finish it off Monday night.
There's a ton of stuff going on, and I think I don't even know where to start, but let's start with your man Chip Kelly, the San Francisco rumors. What do you think?
I don't think so. I don't think he's going to end up in San Francisco. I see him more, possibly Tennessee. I know there's been a little talk of that. Maybe even going back to college. I know he said he wants to coach in the pros, but, you know, it's tough. I mean, he had so much success at Oregon, and it didn't really work out with the Eagles. I mean, not really record-wise. I mean, he had a decent record, but it just didn't really work out. But, I mean, you know, if he goes to San Francisco, that'll be interesting to work with Kaepernick. I really don't envision Blaine Gabbert being the quarterback of the future there, do you?
No, I don't. I mean, I think that you know, listen, you know, one thing about Kaepernick, now he had surgery on his thumb and on his knee, but one thing about Kaepernick is – if Chip Kelly gets him, there's a guy that could might be able to take the pounding. I mean, now he's, you know, he's a prototypical guy. I mean, you know, listen, who in the world wouldn't want to be built like him? 6'4", you know, 240, 250, whatever he is, all solid, rock hard muscle, who's fast as lightning. Now that there's a quarterback that might be able to run that system, other than these little, you know, RG3s and Johnny Manziels and Russell Wilson kind of guys. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. I mean, Kaepernick is definitely, I'd put him up there at that kind of Cam Newton type of ability on the ground, and the guy who can kind of withstand the pounding that we haven't really seen before. So yeah, that'd be very interesting, and definitely would work out, I think, better with the system kind of design that Kelly used at Oregon.
Well, I mean, Kelly has never gone through a year that he didn't in the pros that he didn't have a quarterback that was injured. So that's obviously a problem. And speaking of quarterbacks, right, and probably now you know why Ryan Fitzpatrick was never a starting quarterback in the NFL, the biggest puke job in sports. I mean, he puked it up on, had a great year statistically, but when the chips were down, he puked it up. The Jets had a chance to go to the playoffs. What'd you think?
Yeah, that was an ugly game. He did have a great year. It was kind of very impressive. I mean, he was thrown into the fire after Geno Smith went down and had, you know, probably a career year for him, but, you know, the three picks, and they were killer, and the one at the end of the game, it just didn't work out, and very disappointing for Jets fans. I mean, it was a pretty good season, but, you know, couldn't get that last one to fall.
I mean, there's always a reason why guys don't make it. You know, listen, we know when guys get to the professional level, they're great athletes. There's no question. Look, the guys that hit 220 in the pros in baseball are unbelievable superstars in general. So, you know, you can always say what you want, but that's why guys don't get there. That's why Josh McCown was a career backup and, you know, he had a good year statistically. But when you need a guy to be able to dissect it and run it down, that's the problem, and that's what happened there. And then, of course, had a couple of firings. Coughlin stepping down of the Giants. Listen, I didn't think Coughlin was a very good coach anyway. My opinion only, and again, I don't dislike him. He was a great coach with the Jacksonville Jaguars, but I thought the Giants, he was not a great coach. He did catch lightning in a bottle twice. They won two Super Bowls, but they certainly didn't win it because of him, in my opinion. Again, this is just my opinion. They didn't win it because of him. They got two lucky breaks. They caught two lucky balls. They were in the game, but to me, they were nothing more with him than a 500 team. So I'm not surprised. I'm glad for the Giants that he did step down or got fired, you know, whatever you want to phrase it. What did you think?
I thought it worked out pretty well. You know, I like I said, I don't know if he actually stepped down or got fired, but it was nice. You know, he gave a nice speech, and, you know, it was interesting. He actually did not win a playoff game in any season besides the two that he won a Super Bowl in. So you think about that in a 12-year run, that is, it's a pretty amazing stat. And, you know, I kind of agree with you. I thought he was a pretty good coach, not great. And did catch fire a couple years, and, you know, no matter how good of a coach he was or wasn't, I mean, he'll always have that to back him up. But, you know, yeah, I think the Giants need to go in a little bit of a new direction. I mean, they haven't made the playoffs the past 4 years, and Eli Manning is really playing the best football of his career right now. So, I mean, with guys like him and Odell Beckham, I mean, this team gets a little bit on defense. I mean, they can definitely fight in an NFC division that, you know, it really isn't that great right now.
And I could not agree with you more. I think that, you know, I'm glad about that. Now, I think a shocking firing was Lovie Smith. What did you think about that?
Yeah, I was pretty surprised about that, too. You know, I thought, you know, this Bucs team with Jameis Winston, I thought they were definitely trending in the right direction. And, you know, I heard that a couple days ago. I was kind of surprised. I mean, you just come off a year. It wasn't a great year, but, I mean, I don't think anybody really expected it to be. I mean, Jameis Winston had a great rookie year. You know, became the leader of this team, and then I thought pairing him up with Lovie Smith was great. And now, you know, they're going to get a new coach, and everything kind of changes. I really didn't like the move. I mean, I thought they should have given him at least another year to see if this team could progress anymore.
Yeah, they love Lovie Smith, and they stuck him with that with Josh McCown his first year. Now he finally gets a quarterback, and they can him. I mean, you know, look. I thought Lovie Smith, listen, I'm not a big fan. I wasn't a big fan of his with the Bears, but I know his players like him. I know that he plays defense, and I don't know that after 2 years of a crappy team that he finally got a quarterback, and look at he got Doug Martin going this year, that you can him. But again, that's why I'm not the general manager, because, you know, that's the way I am. I would never hired him, but that's besides the point. I didn't think he deserved to be canned, but hey, that's life in the fast lane, and that happens. And then, you know, we kept asking the question, and, you know, the New York Mets are not re-signing Serpaitis, okay? Giannis Serpaitis. They're not going to re-sign him. And the story is he's just not a good fit. Well, of course we know what the story is. Obviously, the guy has a problem somewhere because he can't stay with one team. And skill-wise, I don't know that there's anybody any better is with all-around skill than him in the entire baseball. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't disagree with you there. I mean, we saw what he did when he came to the Mets last year. I mean, completely turned their season around. I mean, they were sitting around 500, and they could not hit the baseball. And, you know, he came, and they were down big to the Nationals in the division, and they end up, you know, cruising all the way to the World Series. And it was kind of shocking to me, you know, that they wouldn't really even make an effort to sign him. And, you know, they let Murphy go. It just seems kind of typical Mets, you know, not really willing to spend the money. I'm sure there's more to it than that, but yeah, you know, it's interesting. Cespedes, you know, is always changing teams, and if you look at his career stat line, it's pretty damn good. So it kind of makes you wonder, you know, what's really going on, or what makes him, you know, a guy who just moves around so much. I'm sure, I think it'll come out eventually, you know, whether that's this year or somewhere down the line in his career. I think people are going to find out, because it's really bizarre, you know, why teams haven't stuck him out longer when he's really playing well.
Well, apparently, from my understanding, and I don't have great sources, but my sources is he's a putz. Nobody likes him. He's not a good clubhouse guy. He's a selfish individual that doesn't really give a rat's ass about anybody. And that's why he can't stay with one team, because all he's done is performed everywhere he goes. But obviously, the small percentage of bad that he creates, it must be the cancer he creates in the clubhouse, keeps him from anybody wanting to sign him. Of course, somebody will sign him, and they'll sign him a huge money. But we're not getting huge money unless we get to a commercial break here. This is The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. And, you know, if you ever miss a show, they are at libertytalk.fm on demand anytime you want, as well as The Bubba Show. This is Todd Bubba Horowitz with Xander. This is The Sporting Edge. We'll be right back after the break.
play soft and low. Yet all the night.
Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We had the Hall of Fame voting last week. And of course, no surprise, Ken Griffey Jr. walked in easily. Mike Piazza got in. Were you surprised at Mike Piazza getting in?
I wasn't really surprised. I think, you know, he was another great guy in baseball, very well liked, had a great career. So I wasn't surprised about him. You know, he saw a little spike in Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds' numbers, but not enough to get him up. But I thought Griffey, that number was unbelievable. 99.3% broke Tom Seaver's record for 24 years. I mean, I don't know if that'll ever be touched again. I think the one guy down the road who might be able to touch that is Mike Trout. But other than that, I mean, I don't know if that'll get broken.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. And were you surprised that Bagwell didn't get in?
I was a little bit surprised. I think he'll get in eventually. But yeah, I definitely was a little bit surprised about that.
I mean, they say that, you know, Biggio and Bagwell was better and more of a teamer than Biggio. And Biggio's obviously already in. So, and you know, I guess, you know, we'll see. And I'm sure he will get in. But at the end, you know, it's not. It wasn't in the cards, as they say. You know, things don't happen that way. And of course, you know, that's the voting. And the other problem is again, that process is not a great process. But you know what? It is what it is, and we got to deal with whatever they have. And as we look into a little bit of the football weekend, okay, some pretty key injuries coming up to this weekend's pro games. Dalton out. I mean, not Dalton. Yeah, Dalton out and McCarron starting. Yeah. Rookie. Well, he's not a rookie, but, you know, first few games starting. What do you think?
I don't want
your game prediction yet. I just want to know your thoughts of the injury and what it means to the overall system. And we'll get to the predictions in the next segment.
Right. Well, I mean, I think, you know, A.J. McCarron getting thrown in right now, that, I mean, it's going to be fun to watch. I mean, the Cincinnati team has been notorious the past few years for struggling in the playoffs. They haven't won a playoff game in a long time, and they've been there. So this is going to be interesting. I mean, A.J. McCarron, you know, has proved that he can play as a capable NFL quarterback, and, you know, he's got some weapons around him. I mean, Gio Bernard, Jeremy Hill, Marvin Jones, A.J. Green, I mean, these guys make plays, and Tyler Eifert as well. So, I mean, he's definitely going to have some weapons around him. So we'll see if he can get it done. But I think, yeah, definitely interesting that Dalton got ruled out. I mean, I remember we were sitting in Vegas, and we saw the play of him getting hurt, and it kind of, you know, changed the course of a lot of things. But, you know, the Bengals are back in the playoffs, and when you got a good defense, you always got a chance. So I think A.J. McCarron, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that's for sure. When you can play defense and you can run the ball, now, we'll see. They're playing a pretty good defense, so we'll see how that works out, and we will discuss it. We break it down, and then, of course, I think a bigger blow in this game is D'Angelo Williams out for Pittsburgh, because they're now down to Toussaint, who, you know, is played, but, you know, certainly not your number one choice, right?
Right. I mean, D'Angelo Williams has been amazing this year. I mean, really stepped in to the position where, I mean, Le'Veon Bell, I can make an argument that he's the most valuable running back in the league, and D'Angelo Williams has been unbelievable this year, and it was sad to see him go down, but I mean, yeah, that's a big loss for them. I know that Big Ben, and he's been relatively good this year, but hasn't been great as of late, and, you know, if they're not throwing the ball well, I don't really see him, you know, winning this game. But, I mean, D'Angelo Williams, it's a big miss for the Steelers.
Yeah, it's a bad break, and you know, listen, but that, unfortunately, that's part of you know, football, and part of the game is guys get hurt, and you know, I think as you look into you know, the whole situation, and this is where a lot of the players say that the season's too long. Because when you look at it, look at all of the really major injuries, and of course we had our own major injuries in our fantasy team. But look at the continuation of injuries throughout the year. What do you think? Do you think that the season? I mean, I know for us it's not too long. We'd like it to be 52 weeks a year, but from a physical beating on the body, and you saw the movie Concussion as well. Do you think the season is too long, and do you think there's too much?
You know, it's really hard to say. I mean, I play football not near as high of a level as these guys, so I really don't know what it feels like to go through that grind. But I'm sure it is a little too long, but I'd really love to get some opinions on that from some of the players and what they think. I know some of them come out and said it's too long. Yeah, I kind of want to get a consensus from everybody. I mean, I don't really see it ever being shortened, just basically for the reason of money and, you know, the enjoyment from the fans. But, you know, it is a lot of games. I mean, you throw in the preseason and then teams that make the playoffs and you're looking at, you know, 20-plus games for some guys, and it's a lot. It's definitely a grind.
Oh, no, you can bet your ass it ain't ever going to be shortened. You know, listen, you know, there's one thing about life and business. It all comes down to money. Okay, there is no way they're shortening. The owners are still trying to get this to be an 18-game regular season because they want the money, and I don't blame them. I mean, but look, you know, these players want to get paid that big money, then they're going to be, you know, they're going to have to play. I mean, that's the bottom line. Now, whether you agree with that or not, if you want to get paid that kind of dough, then you're going to have to play more games, and that's it, because their owners, you know, they still own the bat and the ball, and there have been people that have tried to build. The only successful outside league was the AFL, and of course they merged, but, you know, it's hard to get those stadiums and everything else, so, you know, the players are going to have to come up. If they want to keep getting those $60 million bonuses, you know, they're going to have to play, and that's just the way it goes. I understand that the problems, but what do you think?
Yeah, you know, I mean, when the people who are signing your paychecks are the ones, they're the ones who are going to decide, and, you know, that's just the way it goes. I would hate to see a shortened season, just because I love watching it, and like you said, 52 weeks here would be awesome, and it's really sad to see it go. The season just really comes and goes, I think, as a fan, from a fantasy perspective, and just watching the games. I feel like a few weeks ago we were just at week one, but I'm excited for playoffs. I mean, that's always fun, too.
So, talk to us about the fantasy now. So now the season's over and your leagues are over and you're done, and, you know, we have the daily. Now, do you like the daily better than the yearly? Do you like them equally? What do you think?
You know what? Actually, this year is really when I changed my opinion about it. I used to be a big proponent. I mean, that was the only thing that was out, was the year-long leagues. But over the course of this year, you know, I realized I do like the daily fantasy a lot better, because gives you that option of starting over each week, and you're not tied down to one team. It's more exciting because, you know, you get to exploit different things each week, while, as you know, when you pick a team at the start of the year, you're stuck with whatever you got, and it's fun, but I think the daily matchups are just a little more interesting, because you get to build in a lot more theory and a lot of what you think, and it starts over each week, so I think the daily is better. What about you?
No, I agree. Well, I definitely like the daily better because, again, A, I like the action, and I like to, you know, reevaluate. You know, for example, my year-long team had Tony Romo, Joe Flacco, Steve Smith, and, you know, fortunately, the rest of the guys carry us. I mean, Doug Baldwin had the most incredible finish in the last four games of the year that carried us. But without him, we'd have been just sitting there, you know, wishing that the season was over already, because we had no chance,
right?
And miraculously we were able to hold on. No, I like the daily. I think the daily is the greatest game ever, because A, it is legitimately playable, and if you do your homework, you got a chance to win. You know, I mean, you know, again, if you the bigger you play, you know, into the bigger the contest, like the lotto, the harder it is to win. But there are ways to play the game, and I think that certainly, you know, if you're trying to do the right things, you have an opportunity. So I like this. I like the dailies all the way across. I like it for basketball. I like it for baseball. You know, I think, in fact, maybe we'll start coming up with a weekend lineup for the baskets next week. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm definitely down. I got to start setting up a little bit. But, yeah, I'm excited to get into NBA a little bit more now. And then I'm very excited to start picking for baseball coming up soon, too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so, I mean, again, it's just, I love the daily. I think it's a lot more fun. I like the seasonal, too, don't get me wrong, but I do like the daily because I think it does add to the excitement, and you get to change your lineup, so you get to, you know, try to figure out who's going to be hot. You know, it's a one-weekend affair, and I love it. But this is The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We're going to stop out here for a break. Make sure you catch Liberty Talk at libertytalk.fm, The Bubba Show, or The Sporting Edge on demand anytime you miss one. This is The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We'll be right back after the break with our fantasy lineup and our football picks for the weekend. We'll be right back. The Sporting Edge.
trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. And Xander, we're getting down to it. We've got a couple more weeks left of daily fantasy football lineups. A little bit more. Got to be a little more of a challenge. You're down to four teams, so there's going to be a lot of duplicates. So we got to find the sleeper or go with the standard. What do you think? What's your lineup look like this week? And how did we do last week?
Last week, we had a rotten week. You know, missed the cut by 10 points. Put up 106. Just didn't really have any breakouts. So at the end of the regular season on a sour note, but we still got a few weeks here at playoffs. We're going to start off with Ben Roethlisberger at quarterback. I think he's going to be probably the biggest chalk play in daily fantasy this week. I mean, there's not a lot of great options for quarterback. I mean, you got A.J. McCarron as well. But I think Roethlisberger is the play this week at quarterback. I mean, so many weapons for the Steelers team, and the injury to D'Angelo Williams, they're really going to rely on Big Ben. I know the Cincinnati team has a very good defense, but, you know, I can't go against Ben and all the weapons, and especially the game plan. My running back slot, I'm going to go with Gio Bernard for my first one. Very cheap play at 5,600, and I think he's definitely worth it this week. I mean, I usually don't like taking guys from split backfields, but I think this game is going to move in more in Gio Bernard's direction. I mean, Pittsburgh is a small favorite. You know, I expect that Bernard is going to be there a little more often than Hill. Definitely a better passing down back, and I think A.J. McCarron is going to find him a lot this game. I think he could legitimately catch seven or eight balls and find a chance to score. My second running back slot, I'm paying all the way up for Adrian Peterson. 8,400, he's the top running back on the board. And, you know, I don't love the matchup, you know, against the Seahawks, but, you know, I can't get away from what I think he's going to do in this game. I mean, you know that Minnesota wants to keep this game close and hand him the ball. And I know that Seattle's got a great defense that wasn't so great at the start of the year, but is really coming along. But, you know, Adrian Peterson is a great player. And I know he's going to get his touches. You know, what he does with those, I don't know, but I think he's going to play well this week. My first wide receiver slot, I'm going to go with DeAndre Hopkins, also the number one receiver on the board salary-wise. I think he's definitely worth it. I mean, he's been, you know, arguably one of the best receivers in football this year. I think against the Kansas City defense, that's played really well. I mean, you know, a good player is always going to make plays. So you can't always, you know, go matchup-wise. And I think DeAndre Hopkins is a great play this week in what should be a close game in Houston and Kansas City. My second wide receiver slot, I'm going with Randall Cobb. You know, Cobb has been struggling lately, and I think that has a lot to do with, obviously, Aaron Rodgers struggling. But I think it's about time for his breakout. I mean, I don't know what Rodgers is going to do this game, but I think he needs to find Cobb and get back into a rhythm with him. I mean, Randall Cobb is the best receiver on this team. I know they have Jordy Nelson, but he's been out all year. Cobb really had to step up and play pretty well for the most part, but, you know, they haven't had a lot of continuity lately. And I think against, a weaker Washington secondary, I think Cobb breaks out this game. My third wide receiver slot, I'm going with Marvin Jones of the Bengals. You know, I like the Jones-Bernard combo because I think you know, Marvin Jones is one of those guys, very talented on the Bengals, and kind of gets lost in all the big names there. You got Tyler Eifert, A.J. Green, we talked about earlier. But I think he's due for a big week, and I think Cincinnati's going to need to throw the ball to win this game. My tight end, I'm going with Jordan Reed of the Redskins. Jordan Reed has had an awesome year. I mean, behind Gronk, I mean, there was very few tight ends that offered, you know, a lot of consistency, and Jordan Reed was one of those guys. You know, defense isn't great for Green Bay against tight ends. They're 25th in the league out of 32, so I think with Kirk Cousins, he's got to look for him. And at 7,400, I think he's appropriately priced for a tight end. My kicker, I'm going with Mike Nugent. A lot of Bengals, I think, you know, they're going to put up some points this week. I know it's kind of hard to think about with A.J. McCarron, you know, rookie quarterback starting his first playoff game, but, I mean, this Pittsburgh defense is not that great. I think there should be a lot of opportunity there. In my defense, I'm going with the Houston Texans against the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, I love going with J.J. Watt here. I think the Houston Texans are going to force a few turnovers in this game, a lot of opportunities. I think they're going to get a couple sacks. You know, I don't think this Kansas City offense is that high powered. Their defense has really been the key to their huge win streak. And I think, you know, like I said, only four options to go for, and I'm going to go with Houston. That's my lineup for the week. Sticking to it, and hopefully we'll come back next week with a winner and then pick another winning lineup.
Yeah, no, I agree, and there isn't a lot to really choose from this week. It is a tight week, and just so I give you my quick team, I at that league, you know, I do that playoff thing every year.
Right.
I got Rodgers, Cobb, Reed. I don't know. I can't remember the others, but I got a pretty good team. Now, Pittsburgh D, I got, because I think Pittsburgh is shut down. So let's look at that game first. Pittsburgh, Cincinnati. Now, obviously, Dalton is out, so Pittsburgh is instilled as a 2 to 3 point favorite here. Not a big fan of laying points on the road, but again, I'm also not a big fan of A.J. McCarron getting thrown into the fire here in a divisional game as well. See, that's the kicker for me here is it's a divisional game as well. So it makes me a little bit more leery of the rookie quarterback. But I know he's not a rookie, but his first time through, because they've already got that monkey on their back that they always fold in the playoffs. And now they've got a quarterback that's not experienced against a pretty tricky defense. You may not be a big fan of him, but I think they shut him down. I think Pittsburgh kicks the crap out of him. But I want to hear your opinion too, please.
Yeah, you know, I think this game is going to be pretty high scoring, but I think I would definitely take lay the couple points with Pittsburgh here. You know, I think they're a better team. I think, you know, they're a team that's shown us that any spot they have in the playoffs, they're dangerous. You know, they won a few years ago with a 6 seed. I mean, they've come in, you know, at the top of the league. I mean, they're a dangerous team, and Big Ben has had a lot of playoff success. And like you said, the Bengals have not as of late. And, you know, I think Pittsburgh's a better team, and I think they're just going to flat out beat the Bengals.
You got to love Tomlin, too. I mean, he's just a great coach. I mean, you know, they just managed to get there. They managed to get it done. They've got a good game plan. And I'm sure, look, A.J. McCarron may beat him. But I'll tell you what, I don't think they're going down easy, and I think that he's got a great game plan for him, and we'll see what happens from there. And then, of course, also today, another game I know you have a feel on, so tell us about the Kansas City-Houston game.
Yeah, you know, I think Kansas City is a 3-point favorite right now. I really like Houston playing at home. Brian Hoyer's had a great year, you know, and I think the defense is the key in this game, both these teams. Very good defenses. You know, I know you're probably top 10 in the NFL for both of them. And that's kind of reflected in the over-under at 40. It's pretty low. But, yeah, I like Houston in this game. You know, I love the defensive line. J.J. Watt, he had another terrific year. And I think they just end up proving to be too much for Alex Smith and the Chiefs. I mean, Alex Smith has quietly had a very nice year as well. But, you know, I like Houston plus the 3 at home. And, you know, that's my pick.
Yeah, no, he's had a great year, and Alex Smith. And listen, Andy Reid's a nice coach. Now, Andy Reid's another coach. You know, he got the one Super Bowl with Donovan McNabb, but
right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not the big Andy Reid fan. I think he's a good coach, and don't get me wrong, he's done a nice job, but he doesn't seem to be able to get over the hump. And here, I don't know if Smith and Macklin are enough, and Chandrick West. I think that the only issue, obviously, with Houston is, you know, there might be some issues, but they are at home, a home team dog here. I like Houston here as well. So we've got two picks for Saturday. We like the road team as the favorite, and the home team is a dog. That's for Saturday. And, of course, looking into Sunday, you've got Seattle going to Minnesota. It's supposed to be below zero in Minnesota, but Marshawn Lynch supposedly going to be back for this game and ready to play. Now, I don't know how much Ray's going to play. They've instilled like a 5-point favorite tomorrow on Seattle over Minnesota. What are your thoughts on the game?
That's tough. I think this is going to be a great game. I mean, the Vikings are, you know, one of those up-and-coming teams, and Seattle, obviously, for the past few years, has been probably the top team in the NFL, you know, besides the Patriots. And they're coming on at the right time. I have a really hard time laying 5 points on the road. You know, I think this Vikings team is a lot better than people give them credit for. And, you know, I think with a guy like Adrian Peterson and their defense, I think this is going to be a very close game, you know. I think Seattle is going to win, but I don't think I would lay the 5 points here. I think Vikings are a very live underdog.
I actually think the Vikings are going to beat them, and only because the first thing is, and you don't get me wrong, everybody's got the same weather, but it's going to be below zero. Now, I don't know how comfortable Marshawn Lynch is going to be after of not playing for a while. And again, I'm not, you know, again, that's just, you're just, you know, I don't know how, what kind of football shape he's in. He's great back, and he may just be awesome and come back and run over, and they might win 25-0. However, I think this is going to be a grudded out game, and I'm old enough to remember some of these real cold weather games. This game figures to fall, you know, in a tight range and, you know, low scoring. So if it's low scoring and I'm getting 5.5 to 6 points, I got to take the points here. Seattle's been on a roll at the end of the season here, but I'm not a giant fan. I think they've showed some weaknesses as well. So I think that I don't want to fall in love with them. I think I'm going to go with the Vikings as well. So we do like them. And then, of course, the highlight game we'll talk when we get back, and we'll talk about the NCAA championship as well. Because we, as we said, we had a bag of stuff that we had to get out, and we're rocking and rolling here. This is the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. If you ever miss an episode, check it out at libertytalk.fm up there on demand. This is the Sporting Edge. We'll be back right after the break with Bubba and Xander. The Sporting Edge will be right back. Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander, and NFL playoff weekend, NCAA championship football weekend. And we got one more NFL game to go here, my big boy. And, you know, I want to break this one down a little bit, because normally if I had told you this game on the first week of the season, you'd have said, well, the line's probably 20. Okay. But here's Green Bay coming in with a couple of flat tires. They have totally, after starting out either 5-0 or 6-0, they've totally blown up. Aaron Rodgers looks like Ryan Fitzpatrick. Davante Adams is on vacation. Of course, Jordy Nelson is hurt. Randall Cobb has had a brutal year. Eddie Lacy looks like he gained about 400 pounds. And yet, here they are coming up against the Washington Redskins in the game that is a picket. Make your case for your team.
Well, I'm going to go with the Pack here, and I really honestly can't make a great case. I mean, anybody who's watched them the past few weeks, I mean, it's kind of tough to watch. And this Redskins team, on the other hand, you know, it's coming in pretty hot. I mean, Kirk Cousins has had an unbelievable year. You know what? I can't pick against Rodgers in the playoffs against kind of a what I think is not a great Washington team. And that's my case. It's not a great one, but I'm about.
Well, you know, listen, I can buy that. Now, I'll make a case, okay? I also like the Packers. Now, I think one of the problems with many sports investors and many handicappers is we have a memory that we remember how good he was. Now, either you can say that he is no longer as good as he was and he's just old, or you can say that he's going to come on, or he's just having a bad year. That I don't know, but I do believe that Washington is not as good as the Green Bay Packers. I believe that Cousins will not have a great game. I think, I predict he gets picked twice in this game. So I think that overall, that Green Bay is going to run him out of the gym. And that's just going to be, Aaron Rodgers is going to get hot, and we're going to expose some of the weakness of Washington. Because remember, Washington played, and nothing away from them, but they played in the weakest division. Okay, with a bunch of rummy cubes, and That's the way I see it. I don't see the Redskins winning this game. I do see the Packers. So we do have, actually, we've picked all four games this week, which will be Houston and Pittsburgh today, and Minnesota and Green Bay tomorrow. Now, before we get into into the Monday's championship game, I want to talk to you a little bit about Denver Broncos. Brock Osweiler, Peyton Manning. Who do you start?
I think you got to go with Osweiler. I mean, he's been here for a while now, and he's proven that he's done a decent job. He had a great comeback win, I think, against the Bengals on Monday night last week. And I wouldn't throw Peyton Manning back in right now. I just think Brock Osweiler gives them a better chance to win. And that's basically my take on it. I don't think Manning gives you a better chance to win here. And I know he's got a lot more experience, but you know, the physical capabilities, I think, are much in Osweiler's favor.
Osweiler was 5-2, so I can't, you know. Now, listen, the nice luxury is you've got Peyton off the bench. You can see, you know, this is where in Major League Baseball you say he's got a short leash, so you'd have him on a short leash and bring Peyton in. But, you know, Osweiler is, you know, got to know where he stands and what's going to happen with Manning. But I agree. I think that Osweiler would be the guy that I would start as well, especially because it's a home game. So that would be what I would do. But now, the national championship game, and my team is still alive. Is your team still alive?
I don't really have a team, but you know, I'm cheering for the Illini, so they're long gone.
Okay, well, I thought we picked the team. I picked Clemson weeks ago and said that they would win it all. And once again, they're getting dissed as a 7-point underdog to a very nice Alabama team. What do you think of the game, my boy?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great game. I mean, I think seven points is a lot in a championship game. But you know what? I actually have to go with Clemson now. You know, I kind of switched that. I was big on Alabama. I haven't really thought much of Clemson, but they really proved a lot to me in that Oklahoma game. You know, they really spanked Oklahoma. And I came out, I thought that Oklahoma was going to spank them. I didn't think they were that good. I think the key to this game is probably going to be Deshaun Watson. You know, what can he do with the ball? You know, quarterback touches the ball every snap. I think he's going to need to make a lot of plays against a very good Alabama defense. I mean, I think this defense might be the best defense that's been there in the past 5 or 6 years, and we've seen a lot of great Alabama defenses recently. But, yeah, I think this comes down to Deshaun Watson making some plays with his legs because, you know, we saw how a team like Alabama can really get a game out of hand like they did against Michigan State. I mean, you know, driving in, Connor Cook throws that pick, and that was, I think, really when that game turned. And you saw Alabama, and they got a Heisman Trophy winner in the backfield. They're going to pound the ball with him. And so that's what I think is important in this game. Clemson needs to get out early and often, and they need to put some points on the board, because if Alabama, you know, gets up on them, they kind of have that chokehold. They strangle you, and they play great defense. They run the ball. But, yeah, I think I definitely take Clemson plus the 7 here.
Well, and I agree, because, I mean, Connor Cook did puke it up. Now, again, I don't blame him, but it was a terrible pass. I mean, it was a terrible pass by him. It was a terrible decision. But I believe that actually Michigan State might have won that game. But you saw what happened. They're deflated. They go into the locker room down instead of 10-3, 10-7, down 10-0. Alabama gets the punt return, and next thing you know, it's 38-0. Adios, Charlie. I don't think that Clemson is A, going to melt. I mean, Oklahoma came after him pretty good, and Clemson stood toe-to-toe and came back and kicked their ass after it was all said and done. I think the interesting thing that Dabo Swinney, you know, played for Alabama. I think it's interesting that Clemson, once again, the number one team in the country by the computers, by the voters, by everybody, is a 7-point underdog. Now, again, I find that a tough pill to swallow from my point, but I think that Clemson is really good. And the one flaw in Alabama, in my opinion, okay, is that if they do get behind by a couple of touchdowns, which anything is possible, and I think you saw it last year when they played Ohio State, they have no chance of coming back. They are wounded. I don't think they have the offense to compete. Now, again, if you said if they get ahead and they get a chokehold, then they'll probably just eat him up and hand him lunch, and it'll be a blowout that way. But I do believe that, I'll put it this way, the point spread does not come into play in this game. I think this will be like a Super Bowl, which most Super Bowls don't, the point spread doesn't come in. I say that whoever wins the game covers the point spread, and I think that that's it. I think that Clemson wins the game straight up. I think they get up on them early. I think they've got some things ready for them, and I think they're just kind of like a team of destiny. What do you say to that, big boy?
Yeah, you know, I think it'd be cool to see Dabo Swinney win. I mean, Clemson is definitely one of the top programs in the country, but for so long they've kind of been, you know, that team that can't quite push to the next level, where Alabama has been the team that, you know, is on top and has been standing there for a long time. So I think that this would be awesome if they could come out. You know, Deshaun Watson doesn't win the Heisman, comes out and wins the national championship game, you know, against the Heisman winner. I mean, I think it'd be an awesome story. And I think this is going to really be a dogfight. I mean, I know a lot of people see Clemson as a big underdog. But I think matchup-wise and team-wise, I mean, I think they're very close. And I think the 7 points is just a little bit too much here. And I agree with you. I think they're going to win the game straight up, too. I mean, I really love what they're doing. And I think it'd be a great story.
And I must say, just for the record, I did have Clemson the last time they won the national championship, too. Just in case anybody was wondering, I did have him bet.
How long ago was that?
About 25 or 30 years ago. I did have him. It was at the Orange. They won it at the Orange Bowl, and I had him. They beat Nebraska. So it was a great game, but I think it was a great season. And who is your Super Bowl winner as of today?
I think I got to go with the Patriots. And, you know, they're just a team that's always the most prepared, most ready to go. And I mean, I really wasn't, you know, that impressed by any other team this year, I think. I mean, I know they've struggled as of late, but, you know, I think it's a whole different animal in the postseason. And they've proven that they can handle it, and they've done it multiple times. So right now I'm going with the Patriots.
All right. Well, I think they're too beaten down. I think they've gotten too beaten up, and I'm going with the Arizona Cardinal champions. That'll do it for today's Sporting Edge. Always great to be with you. We enjoy sharing our love of sports and our love of investing in sports with you. We did make 5 selections today, so good luck, and go and knock them dead. And we'll see you next week, same time, same station. If you miss a show, go to libertytalk.fm and you can get them on demand. The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We'll see you next week, same time, same station. Have a great week, everybody. Thank you so much.
You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.